hey, it's the holiday season, so make sure you reach out to your friends, family, and loved ones, especially somebody you served with. All those that are serving right now, thank you for standing the watch. I mean, I feel like I paid my dues, but I can't say thank you enough to those that are still doing it. You know, so thank you that are still wearing the uniform, men and women that are out there kicking ass. This podcast, once again, is brought to you by Cronwell Woodworks. If you can draw it on a napkin, send it to this guy. He will make it for you. He will give you wood. And I don't mean that kind of wood, you pervs. I mean stuff like, you know, flags, birdhouses, ladders for your plants, not like real step ladders. I'm sure he could build those too if you really wanted them. He'll ship them nationwide, so hit him up. That's Cronwell Woodworks. But I want to tell you that this podcast, I go into a little depth on presumptives from the VA. Presumptives means that if you were in Iraq in a certain time frame, they presume that you already have these things. So it's not like a big pain in the ass like it used to be for people that had Agent Orange to justify that, hey, I was, you know, they're just going to say, oh, in 1971, you were in Kung Tongse is a place that had Agent Orange, blah, blah, blah. You're in country, so you're going to get taken care of. Happy holidays, people. Let's start the show. We'll see me the Navy. We can build and we can fight. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers. I had a conversation earlier with Melissa Ritz, who she watched my podcast from last week where I talked about the importance of having a veteran service officer. And there's a lot that goes into that, because a lot of times when you serve in the military, I don't care if it's like our generation, Ace Bedaway, you're on here, love you, bro. If it was like your dad's generation, you know, his dad was badass. He was an Atsugi. And, you know, or the current generation that's still serving, the thing is no matter what you did, it's the whole you break, you buy. I don't care what job you had. If you're on that project or working somewhere and they broke you, they better fucking pay for you to get fixed. And that's where a lot of these presumptives come into play. Going back to talking with Melissa, she's got a podcast called Served, and I think it's really cool because it's talking about the female perspective of the service member. It's she talks strictly with females, and their story obviously is different. Everybody's got a different story. So speak with her, or not speak with her, listen to that podcast. And the cool thing about her as well was that she was badass, dude. She was in the medical field. And she was one of the first people to go to Ramstein in Germany, basically. So like that whole time she's in Germany and she's like, man, I don't know if I qualify for a lot of these benefits because I wasn't in the combat zone. And honestly, I think she had it worse than most of the people in the combat zone. And this is why. She was handling the first wave of people that got fucked up and then sent to there. Because, and the thing is too, is a lot of people don't realize how long it's been between wars. We've been living in them for 20 something years, but there was also a very long gap between Vietnam and then the first Gulf War. And then from the first Gulf War to the second Gulf War. And then a lot of the people that served in the first Gulf War, they never came back, or they weren't there. Definitely not on the first wave. You know, so she's in Ramstein and she's taking care of like all these people are coming back with missing limbs and just a lot of shit, some trauma, you know. And honestly, I think that, I mean, I did my tours in Iraq, you know, and I think that's worse than anything I seen, because you're constantly fucking seeing it nonstop. Now, here's the warrior mentality that she has, and I'm glad that she's kind of catching herself, and I hope you catch yourself with this as well, is that you're seeing other people that are more messed up than you, and you're like, man, I don't deserve these benefits. And that is bullshit. It doesn't matter where or what you did. It's the fact that you deserve everything, you know, that's coming your way. And that really had to mess with your mind, man, being able to see that. I mean, I've seen friends getting really messed up. Matter of fact, one of my own recruits I saw in Iraq fucked up. And, you know, that still weighs heavily on me. No matter what kind of counselor or anything you go, you're still going to feel a little bit bad about things. But at the same time, if you need help, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and getting the help that you need. And I went to a retirement ceremony and a commanding officer was praised for actually going to get help. You know, they didn't throw his ass out. They ended up helping him. And that's kind of how it is. So once again, check out Served. She's also writing right now on a show called Pink Marine, and it's going to be out on Netflix. That's one of the main reasons why she's like really tied up with everything else, but she will be on here. Karen Vasquez is a Navy veteran who's stand-up comic. I met her, I think, at a couple different, one of the Ryan Tomlos productions. Funny comic, man. And she was the one who told me about the Served podcast. So if it wouldn't be for her, I wouldn't know all this stuff. So going back to the whole reason why you should file, there's some fucking crazy things that just happened recently as far as like presumptive. So what a presumptive is, it's saying that, oh, you were here, you deserve this. You know what? I'll just give you the textbook. Let me get me readers. I'll just give you the textbook definition. A VA presumptive. All right, what is presumptive service connection? VA presumes that certain disabilities were caused by military service. This is because of the unique circumstances of a specific veteran's military service. If a presumed condition is diagnosed in a veteran within a certain group, they can be awarded disability compensation. When we're saying certain groups, that means that you served upon this time. Like, if you were there from, there's even time frames in here, like a good example would be served before February 1st, 1992, served before January 1st, 1974. And Irk, your dad, I'm going to send this to you, Irk, because I mean, for those that are listening to the audio podcast, I'm also doing this on Facebook Live. I'm going to try to do it every Wednesday about 5-ish my time, depending on the Detroit Red Wings hockey game schedule. And since the Detroit Red Wings are playing today, I'm doing this early as fuck. But anyways, Irk, your dad was in Vietnam, and if you have any family members that were in Vietnam, this is some shit that message me. I will send you this document. It's any benefits, but like I said, the presumptives, if you were like, say I was in NMCB 5 or 40 or wherever, I was in a battalion, and we deployed between this time frame and this window. When saying a specific group doesn't necessarily mean the unit you were attached to. It's more along the lines of the time frame that you're in and the people that were there with you, etc. But there's a lot of stuff that there's a bunch of shit that goes along with Agent Orange. You know, that's one of the things. I got to hold my mic like this. So former prisoners of war. And it's the thing about POWs is actually like, all right, so you only get this unless you're there for 30 days. And like, yeah, fuck you guys. If you weren't there for 30 days, you don't get all this other shit. But if you're there for at least one day, you get psychosis and any anxiety states, organic residuals of frostbite and post-traumatic osteoarthritis, you know, basically problems with your bones and shit, heart diseases, Vietnam, who were exposed to Agent Orange. There's a big list that's there. Atomic veterans, radiation. There's more presumptives for that. Gulf War veterans served in Southwest Asian operations have a condition that is at least 10% disabling by December 31st, 2026. So that means you have, it's, Scott Snare, this is on, it's on e-benefits, but, inbox me to send it to you and I will send it to you. I'll send you exactly what this is. Gulf War veterans served in the Southwest Asian theater operations. And it's like by December 31st, 2026. So like, if you haven't filed for this shit, fucking file for this shit, man. And when this shit, including like medical unexplained chronic multiple symptoms, illnesses that exist for 6 months or more, such as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome. And that doesn't mean that you ate Chipotle, but like fibromyalgia, that was something that wasn't. Oh, cool. Thanks, Joel, for posting that. I appreciate that, man. So if you're watching this, Joel just posted the link. And if you're listening to this podcast, hit me up at Josh96O'Brien on Instagram or find me on Facebook under my name of Josh O'Brien. All right, so like, you know, fibromyalgia, that's a big one because that wasn't on anything. That used to be one of the uphill battles. Like my ex-wife had fibromyalgia, or still does or whatever. And that was one of the things that was like really fucking her up. And it's kind of hard, you know, like I've served with people too with fibromyalgia. And it's kind of hard to like pinpoint that, and you're like, bitch, you're just a sick bay commando, because you can't really pinpoint anything that's wrong. But realistically, I mean, if this is not like a sick bay commando, that kind of isolates it right there. It's not like it's a made up thing. Which brings me into this other thing, is a veteran service officer is very fucking important for you to have. It's because if you don't have a VSO and you just automatically decide that you're going to file a claim. So the reason why you want to have a veteran service officer, it's like going to court without a fucking lawyer. And you don't want to do that. You know, I mean, it's, and here's a kicker. Having a regular lawyer is like having a public defender versus having a VSO, which is like having a good lawyer, in my opinion, because there are, disclaimer, there are some good lawyers and attorneys out there that'll help you out with your benefits. But for the most part, I hate to say it, it's like thinking about car dealerships. For the most part, they're not there for your benefit. They're there for their benefit. So a VSO is trying to just do their job and get your shit in and out and then move on. Yeah. Whereas the longer it takes for a claim to come back, the more money you're going to get back. So some people is going to say, I had a buddy of mine, Dougie Newman, was telling me about a friend of ours that kind of almost fucked him over like that, you know? So have a VSO, have a veteran service officer. Best way to find it is Google your county, whatever it is, and veteran service officer following that. And with this kind of information, sit down, write all the shit that's fucked up with you. And you can actually Google like the CMP exam and find out exactly what you need. Now, when you go to these exams, don't take your painkillers, take your walker. If you have a cane, take any of that other shit. All right. This is stuff I've covered in the previous podcast. I'll get back to what I was talking about now, the VA presumptive disability benefits. And then also, here's another one too. Gulf War veterans who served in the Southwest Asia Theater of Operations or in Afghanistan on or about September 19th, 2001. Manifest one of the following infectious diseases to a degree of 10% or more within 1 year of separation. And it's a whole nother list, man, of words that are hard to pronounce. No, but anyways, like there's a lot of shit that's in there as well. So, all right, Scott Snare is mentioning the guy out of Quantico. I recommend him. I recommend Joel Castellanos, who's a friend of mine on here on Facebook, because he's helping out right now. All right, so also this is one that I thought was really fucking important, is that Gulf War deployed veterans who served any length of time in the Southwest Asian Theater Operations during the Persian Gulf War or served any length of time in Afghanistan, Syria, Djibouti, Uzbekistan, on or after September 19, 2001. You manifest one of the following to any degree within 10 years from the date of separation from the military. Asthma, rhinitis, synostitis, to include rhinosynostitis. Yeah, I did it. But anyways, asthma. Like, there's so many people that come back for fucking... that, and it's finally there. Burn pits, man. That's basically what the asthma is saying, because there's so much shit that we get out of that stuff. Sinusitis. So, once again, if you have any questions, Google that shit. The VA presumptive disability benefits fact sheet that just came out in September. And there's like a lot of cool stuff and a lot of shitty stuff that you'll have. If you have it, it's shitty you got it. But it's cool that they're finally saying, hey, this is why you're fucked up, you know? So definitely go in and check that out. Once again, man, that's very important. And, you know, it's the fucking holidays, man. If you're trying to file this stuff, good luck. Maybe want to wait till January 1st-ish. No, I'm just kidding. Get your claims in now. Do that. Get your claims in now. Anyways, any questions for me before I like go on to another rant of any sort? I remember like the first time, my first Thanksgiving in the Navy, it was in Gulfport, Mississippi. I was in A school, basically A school is like MOS school, whatever. It's a school for my job. I was a welder before I came in, and that's a job I wanted to have, and that's what I had as a steel worker, and I had duty. So fucking lame, you know, and it's just like all my friends, they're out, gone, getting fucked up somewhere else. And, you know, this is the first time I've been that far away from like Fremont, Ohio, my hometown. And so what I do is like, just been all by myself, walk to the galley, eat my turkey all by myself. And then, you know, had a little bit of whiskey hidden away in my locker. And then I just waited till it got close to bedtime and drank whiskey all by myself. It hit me. It's like, you know, this sucks and all, but at the same time, I got a good job. You know, I'm learning a fucking skill. I'm getting further on that. Yeah. And home's just a phone call away. And back then it was a little bit different. It's so funny thinking back on the 90s military people. And I know some folks in here served. I see who you are on here right now. There's some people that served in the 80s and the 70s. And you're thinking about how fucking crazy it would be. Because like now, like I can, my first deployment and first holiday, I guess, would have been Thanksgiving. Like all that was like kind of tough because like I had a high school girlfriend back home and I had that. And then I had, you know, the family. It was like, I was like kind of close to the family and stuff back then. And it was just like, calling back and you got calling cards and all this other shit. Now, nah, just FaceTime. Like right now, like you and I are watching this happen right the fuck now. There's no way. Like I would record a storybook. I would read a book to Paley, my kiddo, and they would send a VHS cassette. And that was like my fourth deployment or something like that. And they would mail a VHS cassette. And that's how the video got out, you know, to family. Now we just contact and talk to each other right now, one-on-one. And a good question here is, can we use any VSO or just the ones in the state you reside? I would just fucking hit up a VSO that you want to believe in. The one closest to you is usually the best. And I've heard, I don't know if Joel's still on here, he'd be able to answer that one better. Can you use the VSO? I would say just use the one in your county. But if you have somebody else, like for me, I hit up Joel. Like he's a fellow CB, and that's who I wanted to go do my shit with. And if I ever need anything, I'm going to go hit him up. And he's no longer in LA. He's in Long Beach. So I'll still go through Joel, and Joel's really helped out some other people. He helped out one of our docs, our corpsman in Iraq, Roberto Perez. He was on here a couple shows about 6-8 months ago, and he helped out Doc Perez with some of his problems too, and they're not in the same county. You know, so if you go with somebody that you have rapport with and you believe in, I mean, everything right now, it's not in office anymore anyway. It's fucking pretty much all emails and voicemails and, you know, all that other fun stuff. So I would totally reach out to, number one, I would go with my closest county. That's it. You know, if you don't have any specifics. But if you know, like, somebody else, I know, like, Bender and Ventura County, that's one that a lot of people recommend to each other. And also, her husband was CB. So a lot of people out of Port Hueneme are going to go with that because, you know, she's close to the CBs, you know. So she's close to she understands the rate, MOS, whatever you want to call it. She understands the job description and job fields that we go into. And that's another thing too, is like VSOs will sit down and they'll shoot the shit with people all the time. You know, they know what is coming their way. If that makes sense. So if it's like, oh, so you have this, so you probably have this too. Right. Right. And you don't even know about it. There's so much shit that I'm like, oh wow, I have this. And I've never like the chronic fatigue disorder and stuff like this. Like this shit I've had for a long ass time. I never knew it was a thing. You're just like, man, do I got mono or something? I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck mono is. I just know that's a reference people say when you're tired. So anyways, yeah, man. So VSOs, definitely worthwhile. Definitely worth getting into. Also, like what I think is really cool is veteran organizations. I joke a lot because Marty Yingling, who's been on the show a couple times, retired MASH chief, good buddy of mine. I sound like, and he's a good buddy of mine. No, but Marty used to hit me up all the time. It's right after I retired. I think for about a year, I got a phone call or a message from him like once a week, like, hey, when are you going to sign up for the VFW? When are you going to sign up for the VFW? And I was like, how much is it? He's like, $35. And I'm like, oh, cool. $35 for you to shut the fuck up. You know, but the truth be told is it's actually pretty cool when you have those kind of organizations. I just don't like some of them. You can still smoke inside and I can't be around cigarette smoke. It just fucks my lungs up, you know. So if you are a cigarette smoker, you still got some VFWs you can burn one in. But that being said, I really like what they do because they updated it. It used to be like when I was a kid, I would go to the VFW with my grandpa O'Brien and we get like a perch sandwich and, you know, all that other stuff. And it was great. but it was different. It was a different time frame, a different era, and it felt kind of dark and dank. You know, like there's a lot of people telling the same story about Da Nang over and over again, and people seemed really depressing in there. You know, it's dark, and it was just drink was the whole like mentality, and nothing wrong with going to a bar to drink, but if that's just your entire life is to go back and sit in a fucking bar and drink all the time, and try not to bring up bad shit. Have some fun. Hey, if you're going to be an alcoholic, be a fun alcoholic. Don't just be sitting there talking about bad shit and old shit. Okay. No, I'm just fucking around. I support responsible use of alcohol. That's the Navy motto now. There used to be zero tolerance for, still zero tolerance for drugs. I had a question too, about legalized weed, marijuana being legal for the troops. No, it's not going to happen for at least a while. And it's because if you're a part of the Department of Defense, if you're in the military, if you're in any of that stuff, you fall under federal code. So since it's decriminalized in some states, like Ohio, it's always been decriminalized. But if it's illegal in states, then you're kind of fucked. And if it's like here, I can walk around, I can get weed easier than I get liquor right now, like right this very second. I can walk a block over and I can go to a dispensary. I can buy gummy bears and some weed and some wax if I want to do some dabs. You know, I can do all kinds of cool shit like right there. Liquor store is a couple blocks further up. And so that being said, if I had a job as a contractor at GS-14 somewhere, I probably wouldn't be able to do that because I'd pop on a piss test. And if I was on active duty in the military, no. And the thing is, too, which really sucks, is that CBD and THC, primarily THC, is not okay until the federal government says so, I guess, which sucks. Because, I mean, honestly, I would rather, like, just smoke a bowl or just take a hit off of a vape pen or something like that, then take pharmaceuticals. Because back in like 08 time frame, I had my shoulder surgery, and I guess you'd call that a pandemic as well, but this is before pills became a big problem. You know, now we know pills kill more people than actually illegal drugs. Like, more people die from oxy and all that other shit than they do from crack cocaine, you know, and heroin and shit like that. And then it's just like, and then also where they stretch things out with fentanyl, which is also another thing that you buy in a pharmacy, and now people put it in drugs to stretch the drugs out, which makes it even way fucking worse. You know, so that's even added on top of the pharmaceuticals. I know I'm going on this rant, but the thing is, I would rather I can't promote psilocybin because it's not completely legal unless I was in Oakland, but something like psilocybin, or THC or something like that really helps out, a lot. And I've talked with lots and lots of veterans that would rather smoke weed than take painkillers or antidepressants. And a lot of it too is just I don't smoke weed to get high. I smoke weed just to relax. You know, it's like the difference between if you go and you have a glass of wine at dinner or you chug the whole bottle. You know, you drink a glass of wine and get a little giggly, that's cool. You know, and if you're chugging bottles every single night, you might want to check into that. That sounds kind of like a fucking problem. But if you're just like drinking a glass of wine every once in a while, and that's how I look at marijuana, I barely ever touch alcohol. And I might do a shot of whiskey once a week or something like that. Or I'm definitely gonna get drunk at a farewell party. But I won't get drunk. I'll probably have a few beers. Anyways, guess what I'm trying to say is fucking stick away. It's still illegal. You can't do it. And unfortunately, the VA is not going to prescribe you marijuana. You know, so that was a pretty cool question I had too. And also, holiday depression. I had somebody reach out, tell me that they're going through some shit. And that's where it comes into the whole, like, I remember when I was 1st Battalion, I was in 5, we were in Okinawa, and actually got out of getting in a lot of trouble because of a fight. And I told the XO and the skipper or whatever, it was XO, and then I told the skipper, it's like, hey, you said take care of yourselves, take care of each other, And that's what I did. I was just, you know, sticking up for one of our own guys, you know, but I still had to, I didn't get busted. I just got put on liberty risk, basically saying, don't drink anymore. But until the end of deployment, it was like only a couple weeks before we went home. So I was like, fuck yeah, cool. Not a problem. And then I found out that Anthony's Pizza will deliver fucking beer when you ordered food. So like I would order a large pizza and a 12 pack of beer to my fucking room. So I'm on liberty risk. I'm just not supposed to leave my room. And then like I have to ask permission to go to shops and stuff like that. Or they're outside the gate. So I couldn't buy my favorite club magazine, but whatever. Anyway, yeah. So I'd have them deliver beer to the room. That was crazy. But the whole point of what I'm saying is it boils down to taking care of yourselves and taking care of each other. It's the holidays. You know, I've lost more friends to fucking suicide than I have to combat injuries. Like it's amazing. I think I'm at like 20-1 at this point, you know, and it's just like every couple months we get a message like, and it's just, and sometimes when somebody calls me, like when I talked to like Doug Newman or some of these cats that I served with, I talked to them like all the fucking time, messages, Facebook messages, and sending them stupid videos and, you know, memes and shit. But the second somebody, your phone rings and it's a veteran and somebody I served with, the first thing you're thinking is who the fuck killed themselves or who died or what's going on, you know? And that's, it's unfortunate. So look out for each other, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Like I said, that was the motto. It got me out of Captain's Mass because I said that. And also it's still the same motto. If you, I don't care if you're a comic watching this and, or a fucking veteran or whatever, if you're going through some dark shit, I'm not going to say, just don't do it. You know, because you already know I'm thinking that. I'm thinking, reach out to your friends. Just call them. You don't even have to bring up that you got issues. Just hear a voice that you haven't heard in a long fucking time. And that goes so far and so deep and helps clean your soul a little bit, you know. And a lot of times, too, if you have somebody else going through some issues, you can help them out. You can be like, oh, okay, man, I was there. I understand. Or I'm there right now. It's amazing how many veterans I run into. And then Jim Wilson, thank you for that fucking reunion, because from that I had at least 20, and I'm not exaggerating, I say I had at least 20 something people there that are a fan of the podcast or a fan of the show, just because I was a CB and I've never met them in regular life, but I've talked about some of the real shit that we go through. And I'm not afraid to, you know, I don't want another like fucking, you know, I don't want another Sean Malik, or there's so many people that have taken their beaver. I mean, fuck, man. Like, dude, there's so many people that are gone now. And it's like, you don't want that again. And that's why I'm glad that I can talk about this shit. And then some of you guys and gals will listen to this shit, you know? So I know it's getting depressing. Stop. But the whole thing is this. Just fucking reach out, hit your homies up. I said it a million times. I guess what they say is, when I was a recruiter, I found out that you got to say things like 3 times so it sticks in people's heads. So, there's a secret. That's the lethargic id. That's the hidden meaning behind me saying things over and over again. It's not because I just like to repeat myself. It's not just because I like to repeat myself. It's not just because I like to repeat myself. Oh, look, my coffee. It's not just that I like to repeat myself, but it's the truth, man. So reach out, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. What you guys got? Anything, any questions, concerns? Harry Satchel, what's happening, man? Dude. Fucking Santos. What's up, man? Oh, a lot of cool cats on here. All right. So wait, I got to scroll back to where the fuck Joel said something. Whatevs. So some of you guys are still on active duty and I appreciate what you're doing, man. I miss it. You know, I missed it while I was still in though too, cause it's changed so much and the policies changed, but it changes all the time. Like everything just continuously evolves, you know? And the funny thing about, seeing vets and people that have been in, everybody has that one dude that no matter what you tell them, what they went through was better or worse. And it's just like, oh yeah, back in my day, man, it was so much better because of, yeah. I'm like, no, man, we have cold weather gear now. You had a wool fucking blanket. These kids, God bless you. I hope you never understand how shitty wool blankets are. They're bad. Well, I'm going to cut out here in a couple seconds. So, like, hey, man, thanks for tuning in and checking out the show. I really appreciate you. Love you, buddy. Same to you, Irk. And a lot of you other cats, man, thanks for chiming in and asking some questions. I will be doing this again next week. So if you have any questions, concerns, complaints, whatever, please, please, please bring them to me. And I want to put this out there. And the thing is, this is us. This is us against the world. You know what I mean? Like, I've made it in every fucking thing I want to do, and which is very rare to be able to say. So, this is all I really want to do. Like, I want to do stand-up comedy, and I want to fucking do this podcast. And I love being on other people's shows and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, this is it. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking made it, dude. I retired from the military, did my 20 years. And then you guys, I don't give a shit if you did 2 years, 20 fucking years. You did more than most people. And thank you, man. And don't ever fucking diminish yourself or knock yourself down or sell yourself short, because a lot of people think that, oh, I only did 2 years or only did 5 years or whatever. Who gives a fuck? You did more than almost anybody, you know? So that being said, I fucking love you guys and gals, and thanks for tuning in and checking out the show. As always, for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck them bozos, man. And never, ever, 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 ever forget. Obi loves you. And we're out.